Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 17th of June, smack in the middle of the month, and we thought we would do our open line for the month of June today. So your phone calls are welcome. You know how this goes, unless you've tuned in for the first time, and perhaps one of you listening is tuned in for the first time. Once a month, we ask for your suggestions for program ideas for the 9 to 11 o'clock hours. It can be political, it can be cultural, it can be a terrific book that you've read. That tends to be nonfiction books, actually. Issues that you think we need to pay more attention to. We keep track of all of this. We write it down, and then we go after some of those guests. So today is the day for your input. And our phone number for you to join this open line is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. Mimi Notestein is answering our phones this morning, so you'll chat with her for just a moment, and then we'll get you on the air as soon as we can. Okay? Second hour of the program today, we'll be looking. We've done so many programs on alternatives to fuel, on the fact that we're driving different kinds of cars and moving closer to the places where we work. We thought we would take an extensive look at mass transit, or the lack thereof, in the state of Wisconsin. What's happening in our cities? What's happening with light rail? What's happening with bus service in rural areas in the state of Wisconsin? We'll talk about all of that, as the number of people who are using mass transit is just climbing. So that's our lineup. And we'll go right to your phones and start today with Robert from Germantown. Hi, Robert.
Hi. I think that we should examine McCain's military record. I also think it would be a good idea to have Representative Kucinich or Representative Wexler from Florida on about impeachment, because polls do show very often that many Americans do want this. I'd also like to hear a show on some new developments in astronomy. And tying into the floods and bad weather we've had, I think we need to look at hazardous installations, such as nuclear power plants situated on the Mississippi River, or research reactors which have no containment buildings, or high-level germ warfare labs which are in buildings which are not tornado-proof. And as a last suggestion, how about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? He was in Canada recently giving a speech on big media, and I think he would be a wonderful guest.
Okay, yeah, we've had him on before. It's been a while, but he is a great guest. Well, you have a lot of suggestions there, Robert.
All right.
Thanks very much for your call. We go to Michelle from Denmark. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there. Just excuse my laryngitis. I'm calling because I wanted to mention hypertrophic cardiomyopathy in young people. This is a disease that's more common than people think, and the first sign of the disease is often sudden death, usually after physical activity. My husband is a cardiologist with Cardiology Associates of Green Bay, and he started what he hopes is a pilot program that will pick up in other places if it's successful, which is a community service project. It'll be absolutely free, limited echocardiogram screening of young student athletes to be sure that they don't have this disease. Currently, there's no screening for this disease. Sorry, that's my son in the background. You hear about student athletes or even adults who are young adult athletes in the professional sports often falling over, you know, right after practice or during a game.
Right.
So, for example, in Brown County, there are about 12 to 20,000 young people who participate in sports. The disease is common enough that there could be 20 to 30 students in Brown County who have this disease and don't know it.
Hmm.
And so this would be an important way to save young people's lives.
Mm-hmm. And you could detect this through an electrocardiogram?
Not an electrocardiogram, but an echocardiogram, which is an ultrasound of the heart. Currently, the reason it's not screened for is because an echocardiogram costs about $1,000.
Hmm.
But the cardiologists and other volunteers are getting together in partnership with the Green Bay Packers and Bellin Health and Siemens and Sonosight, those are some ultrasound companies, all volunteer level, all completely free to screen student athletes who want to be screened.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think it'd be great to just let the public hear more about hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. A lot of parents don't know about the disease. And also talk about the program so people can sign up. Right now it's for Brown County, but no one would be turned away. So if people in other areas wanted to come, they would certainly be welcome. There'll be three times during the summer. And the contact would be Cardiology Associates of Green Bay or Bellin Health in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Michelle, thanks for letting us know about it. And it looks like something we'll look into.
Okay, super.
Okay, thanks very much for the call.
Okay.
We go to Kay next. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Hi.
The way the economy is going and everything, I was thinking it would be really nice to have a program on canning, freezing, preserving, foraging for wild berries in the woods, you know, ways we can kind of cut our cost a little bit.
Okay.
I'm from Jackson County. We used to have a program on the radio with the Home Extension Office here that was really good, gave you a lot of really good tips.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have it anymore.
I like to go for raspberries. Oh,
I know. Wild blackberries, wild grapes.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of times you don't know if you're picking something that's poison or not.
Right.
And free food is good.
Nothing wrong with free good food.
Yeah.
All right, Kay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. We go to Frank from Madison next. Hi, Frank.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Well, Frank, I'm A-OK. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I'm glad to hear that you're okay. I have the revelations in front of the Levin Committee raise issues about the abuse of executive power. And I thought that perhaps it might be worthwhile looking at two previous responses to really egregious abuse of executive power. So perhaps you might consider a single program or two programs, one on the origins of habeas corpus arising from the Magna Carta,
Okay. Just
what the English barons objected to in King John, and the second would be the list of particulars against another dolt called George, the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
It might be instructive. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Frank.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Ron from Superior. Hi, Ron.
Hello.
Hello, Ron.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got two related topics. One is our seniors are very, very confused about this Medicare Part D.
Right.
Prescription drug plan. I think a program on that compared to senior care would be an excellent source of information for our seniors.
Okay.
The other thing that's really confusing our seniors are these Medicare Advantage plans that replace Medicare.
Right.
They're costing the taxpayers more than the Medicare program, and funding is going to be cut the next administration. And people get into these, they're not told the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this would be a good topic for our seniors.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know if we've done programs exclusively on that, and it is a good idea.
Right, and I think any of your county aging specialists, many of them are very familiar with these programs, and every county has an aging specialist to help the seniors with this. I'm a certified senior advisor, but any of these would be very helpful.
Okay. If you want to send us any information via email or just the mail, Ron, that would be helpful maybe, and you can help produce the show for us if you know of people who would be good.
Okay. What's the email address?
I'll give you mine and Rhonda's. Mine is dunk@wpr.org.
And
Dunk.
D-O-N-E?
No, D-U-N-N-K.
Okay.
At WPR.org. And Rhonda's is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Ron.
All right.
Let's go to Bill next from Milwaukee. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Two books. The first one I'm sure didn't escape your radar, but Predictably Irrational
mm-hmm.
by Daniel Ariely. It's really, really interesting.
Okay.
And the second one is The Senator and the Socialite by Lawrence Otis Graham.
Hmm.
It's about the first full-term black senator. It was written in 2006, I believe. And it's just about his experiences, of course, in the Senate and in slavery. And it's about his family as well, the generations that followed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got for you.
All right. Well, I think that's good.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. Open line for June is happening this hour. The number is 800-486-8655, Milwaukee 414-227-2050. Eugene from Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Kathleen. A few months ago, they had a program at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve on Between Fences. And they had a gentleman there who portrayed the part of a surly surveyor and what surveying was like in Wisconsin in the 1840s. And he was just magnificent. He just did an excellent job. He told about how surveying, but anyways, I ran into him again this weekend up at Nakusa at the historic day up there. I was up there with the shoeshine stand, and he was part of that, and he's also on the board. It was just an excellent program I did on Between Fences. And if you want to get a hold of him, I think if you went to www.historicpointbase, and base is spelled B-A-S-S-E, .com, you could get a hold of him. Like I said, the program was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And he told us we were all trespassing.
Hmm.
On the land here, and what the land was like before the surveyors came along in the 1830s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
He had all the original equipment that they used for surveying, pretty much. But that's all I've got.
All right, Eugene.
Mm-hmm, you bet.
Thanks. Okay. Yeah, goodbye. Dick from Sister Bay. Hi, Dick.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Tomorrow, David Swanson, who's an expert on impeachment, is speaking in Milwaukee at Marquette, 7 p.m., in the Cudahy Hall. And the reason I'm mentioning him is because, of course, last week Dennis Kucinich introduced 35 articles of impeachment,
mm-hmm.
any one of which, if acted upon by Congress, would effectively impeach and call the Senate to have a trial. So the reason I'm bringing it up is that he's in town. It's certainly a timely topic, and I note that at least online, you're not showing any guests for tomorrow and Friday. So wouldn't it be great to have him actually in your studio, and you could do a live without phone connection with one of your guests and talk on a very great topic with someone who really knows the ins and outs of impeachment and has been working on it for over 4 years.
Oh, and pardon my ignorance here, but who is David Swanson?
David Swanson is a longtime activist. He is the moderator for the popular website AfterDowningStreet.org.
Okay.
And your producers just go to that website, you'll get an idea of the depth of knowledge there. John Nichols has all of his material posted there on impeachment. And as I say, he is visiting Milwaukee, and it would be a great opportunity for people to get up to speed on what's happening with impeachment. Kucinich, by the way, is not giving up. He has already indicated if the Judiciary Committee in the House doesn't act on any of this in 30 days, he's going to submit a total of 60 articles of impeachment, and at some point or other, people need to at least get a little bit more tuned in to what's actually happening here and have a chance to talk about it.
All right, Dick. Appreciate the heads up here. Thanks. Thanks for the call. Annette from Sheboygan is next. Hi, Annette.
Yeah, good morning. I was wondering if you could have somebody on, and I have no idea who would know this, about the comparison of our U.S. Constitution to other industrialized nations in the world. Are we the only ones that have a 200-plus-year-old kind of frontier mentality constitution? And, you know, what is the rest of the world, look like, constitution-wise?
Everybody's got the Constitution on their minds today. We must be getting close to the fourth. Okay, well, that's an interesting show.
All right,
thanks, Annette. Uh-huh. Bye. We'll pause for just a moment and return and welcome more phone calls. It's our June open line, so your lines are open for you to suggest programs for the 9 to 11 o'clock hours here on the Ideas Network. And the number is 800-486-8655 or in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The second hour of our program this Wednesday, we will look at mass transit in the state of Wisconsin. And you're welcome to join that conversation as well. Open line this hour, David, from a cell phone. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi.
I heard Sister Helen Prejean speak a couple of weeks ago at Faculty College in the UW system.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the author of Dead Man Walking.
Right.
And I think she would be just fabulous to have as a guest to speak about not only her issue, but just about her commitment to what she's doing, and she was just really inspiring.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she was. Okay.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Jay is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Kathleen. I have a suggestion. I think it'd be a great show would be getting someone from the Wisconsin Veterans Museum in Madison and to talk about, in particular, their Civil War collection. And apparently they have the largest collection of battlefield flags.
Oh, really?
So if they could talk about how that came to be and about how, in general, how they got a lot of the items they have on show there would be a great show.
Okay. You know, I haven't been there. My family's been there, and I never have, and I'd love to go sometime. So.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing.
Uh-huh.
Their Civil War collection in general is fascinating.
Uh-huh. I'm sure. Good idea. Something different for us.
Great. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Jay.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Lisa from Milwaukee. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hi.
I was calling because I have an idea, and I was thinking that something that might be nice to talk about is maybe inviting a sociologist in to discuss the changing workforce in the United States and in Canada, particularly to reflect the fact that there are more females graduating from universities than males, and this is across Canada and the United States, and this has been going on for probably at least 10, 20 years almost now.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that might be interesting. Let's see where this goes. Is this going to change the way we work? Are we going to start working part-time? Is it going to affect the glass ceiling?
Right. Do you think it will?
I'm not sure. I mean, yeah. I'm thinking more and more women, if they start taking higher positions in different businesses, they may decide they don't want to work the full 40 hours a week if they have children.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I've been thinking lately, I can't remember what cities, but there are places that have gone to this four-day work week because of the economy. Have you kept up on these stories? And I thought, gee, that'd be an interesting show.
Yeah.
Because we're all supposed to be working 4 days. I remember that 20 years ago. Well, the four-day work week is right down the road, and it's not. It's, you know, it's quite the opposite. Well, yeah, I like that idea. Yeah.
Yeah, it might not happen yet. I mean, it might be another 20 years before we see any really major structural change in the way we run our businesses.
Right.
You know, it'd be nice to look into.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
Well, thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Daniel from Rice Lake, hello.
Hello. Julie Olsey, prosecutor of Charles Manson, author of Helter Skelter, in his latest book lays out the case for charging George Bush with murder one. He challenged prosecutors, whether county or state, to prosecute Bush if in their jurisdiction any soldier died in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And who's the author again?
Julie Olsey. I don't really know how to spell it.
Okay.
And he's never lost a case.
Oh, Bugliosi? Vincent Bugliosi?
Yeah.
Okay.
A prosecutor of Charles Manson.
Right. I know who the guy is. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Should be a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. By Aaron. Aaron from Milwaukee. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I'm all for the impeachment thing. But anyway, I'd like you to do a show about the Pfeiffer Clinic. It's a clinic in Chicago. It's in Naperville. And they do nutritional therapy, orthomolecular therapy. But they've had a really good success rate with probably 50 to 75 to 100% with depression, schizophrenia, ADD, autism, a number of different mental illnesses. And they've had almost full recoveries with some people and, better quality of life with other mental illnesses. And it would be a great show. And I think it would help a lot of people that are struggling with some of those challenges and just feel like there's no hope left.
What's the name again?
It's the Pfeiffer Clinic, P-F, S-E-I-F-F-E-R.
Okay.
And the person that you would probably want to talk to is Dr. Walsh, who is, I believe that's his name, and he is kind of the head doctor of the whole clinic, and they're just doing amazing research, things that just regular psychology just doesn't deal with, and it's a revolutionary therapy, and it makes a lot of sense because, you know, when you think about how your brain is made up of, your neurotransmitters are made up of amino acids and things, and a lot of our food is just not nutritionally sound anymore, and so people are lacking a lot of nutritional, you know, they're deficient in a lot of nutritional types of things, so that'd be, I think, a great show.
All right, we'll look into that, Erin.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lisa from Milwaukee, hi.
Hi. Two issues. The first one being Wisconsin has a huge problem with puppy mills, and I have not heard any shows on it at all. Unless I miss them, but I'm very surprised. It's a big problem for Wisconsin and for all the humane societies, and there are tons of puppy mills in northern Wisconsin, and WPR hasn't done any shows on it. I'd like to hear some shows on that.
Okay.
And there is a coalition trying to stop these puppy mills, the WisconsinPuppyMill.com. So, against WisconsinPuppyMills.com. So I think you could contact someone there to talk. And also, seeing that the economy is getting worse, I thought you could do an interview someone from the Tightwad Gazette.
Okay. That's a good suggestion. Okay, thanks. Uh-huh. Bye. 800-486-8655. One line is open right now. It's our open line for the month of June here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And a chance for you to suggest programs for the hours from 9 to 11. We welcome your suggestions. We always welcome them. You don't have to do this just by phone once a month. You can also send us emails whenever an idea strikes your fancy and you think it might strike our fancy. And you can send your emails, send them to both Rhonda and me, Dunkay@WPR.org, and Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, also at WPR.org. John is next from a cell phone. Hi, John.
Yeah, hi. I want to second Vincent Bugliosi for the prosecution of George Bush for murder, because typically he's written three bestsellers. Usually you do start out with the TV shows in New York. They won't touch them. But it's a fascinating book, and every time George Bush changed his shoes to go to war, that indicates malice with a forethought. That's a predicate for murder. Any jurisdiction that lost a soldier has jurisdiction. And if you would threaten Condoleezza Rice with a needle, she'd turn state evidence.
All right, thanks for the call.
Yep.
Muhammad from Madison. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Muhammad.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
There was an Associated Press article in the Wisconsin State Journal, I think, last week that said state workers get $187.3 million in overtime in 3 years. And the two things that jumped out at me was that one worker at the Mendola Mental Health Institute earned $202,000 in overtime.
Wow.
A nurse in Milwaukee, it says Milwaukee Prison. I don't know. I didn't know there was an actual prison in Milwaukee. I know there are correctional institutions. But a 61-year-old nurse there earned $262,000 in overtime. Can someone from the state or the Department of Corrections or Human Services explain how that's being managed, that we would have that with the economy that we have going on?
Yeah, that would be a good thing, just to look at professions, too, that get overtime and whether some other professions have cut overtime. And I've never had overtime, have you? I just never got overtime.
No, I've always had the kind of jobs where, you have flex time. If you work on Saturday, we'll let you off a few hours early Monday morning.
Right.
But not 200. There's some nursing students that must be going crazy, because I can't imagine that someone would go into nursing and be thinking that I'll have the opportunity at some point not to make $262,000 a year, which I don't think nurses make.
No,
$200 and some thousand dollars a year in overtime.
Huh. I just that skipped my attention, Muhammad. We'll look at
that. It was in the front page of the Wisconsin State Journal on June 12th.
June 12th, Wisconsin State Journal. Okay, anything
Thank
else,
you,
sir? That's it?
Yes,
that's,
ma'am.
That's what's on your mind?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thanks.
You too.
Yeah, bye. Let's go next to Martha from Dubuque. Hi, Martha.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I am just thinking about women's health issues, and I guess I'm at the age where I'm looking more into this, but I'm bioidentical hormones. And what that is it is the treatment of perimenopause, premenopause, and menopausal symptoms through natural remedies instead of, the pharmaceutical type of medicine, medication. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I'm on natural progesterone cream
mm-hmm.
for perimenopause symptoms, night sweats and that sort of thing. And I'm a real believer and advocate for it. And there's a lot of people, medical professionals that don't prescribe to this sort of thing. And because, they say they don't have, enough studies that show blah, 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 blah. But I'm walking proof of it. I started 2 years ago, and what a difference it's made, for me. And so I just, women who are having to have hysterectomies and, maybe going this route first
right.
with the natural progesterone cream. And I've been reading about it since I was in my 30s, and I finally found a compounding pharmacy and a pharmacist who is passionate about it down here in Iowa. And I'm telling you, it's really interesting, and I'm just thinking more along with women's health issues.
Okay. How's Dubuque with the flooding, Martha?
We're okay.
You're okay?
Yeah, we're okay, but it's just I was down 30 miles south of Dubuque in Maquoketa, Iowa, and you can see the farm fields that, that are close to these smaller rivers, which were out of their banks as well with flash flooding. But a week ago, we were in Iowa City, and we got through to Iowa City. But now the highway that we took, Highway 1, part of that's closed.
Oh.
It's, like, washed out. It's devastating. It's awful.
I'm sure. I just feel for so many people. Oh, lost everything.
Same thing up, in Wisconsin, that area. It's awful.
I know. Yeah, it's terrible.
Now, thinking about this, what's causing this flooding?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the weather, or is it because we are having... We have all this cement that is being laid down with all of these, new homes
mm-hmm.
going up and huge buildings and parking lots. And where does all this water run off? There's
mm-hmm.
a show for you, Kathleen.
Yeah, there is a show. You're absolutely right. We'll do it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Thank
Martha.
You. Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye. All right. Susan from Green Bay. Hello.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for having me.
Sure, Susan.
Just real briefly, I don't know if you've already done a show with Greg Martinson. He's the author of Three Cups of Tea.
Mm-hmm.
He's been building schools in Pakistan and Afghanistan. I don't know, just a fascinating story and very inspirational. And just lately hearing on the news with the resurgence of the Taliban in Afghanistan, and they were supposed to have been taken care of.
Right.
And apparently they haven't been. But just, I would like to hear, an interview from him and, his take on maybe what we should be doing over there. Basically, his schools have been competing with schools that are built to train terrorists. His schools are, to educate, especially girls, make sure they get educated, and boys as well, to give them a correct education versus the education that has been funded by terrorists to train terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more, what we could be doing as a nation or, as a people to try to alleviate that situation over there.
I know. I met his mom, actually. I spoke at the AAUW convention it seems like a few weeks ago. It was probably a month and a half ago. And she was charming, and I promised we would do a show on this, and we haven't yet, so...
Oh,
we're a little late on it, but we will.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Susan. Uh-huh. Bye. We have a couple lines open now. Grab them. 800-486-8655. Zeep, is it from Fish Creek?
Yes, thank you very much. My question does regard public transportation. And my question perhaps could be addressed to your next guest. I don't know. The question is, why in the state of Wisconsin have we budgeted through the Department of Transportation, Bureau of Aeronautics, $1 billion over the next 3 years for, quote, improvements in airports? Now, there are two or three major airports in the state, but there are a total of about 200 airports. Most of these airports are boutique airports. And, for example, in the local airport near with the community I live in, the Ephraim Gibraltar Airport, $1 million is being budgeted and will be spent for so-called improvements. Now, this comes out of taxes, federal, state, and local. We need public transportation, not boutique airports. And I would like an explanation, if it's possible, from the Department of Transportation to explain why we're spending $1 billion and in local little boutique airports that handle a few select and well-to-do pilots, we fund these people with public taxes. And again, these taxes come from federal, state, and local, but they're taxes. And I think it's completely wrong. We should fund instead public transportation for buses, for elderly people to get from one place to another where they cannot drive. Instead, we waste it in many cases on these boutique airports. So I think we should get an explanation of that.
All right, Zeep, we'll try and bring that up next hour, too.
Pardon me?
We'll try and bring that up next hour. Because
that would be wonderful.
All right, Zeep. Thanks.
Thanks
for the call. Mary is next from Janes. Oh, let me get this button done. There we go. Mary from Janesville. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to add something to the caller that called in just a little bit ago about bioidentical hormones. I think it would be very important, a very important part of the conversation, to add what Premarin is. Millions of women all over the United States and Canada take Premarin every day. And Premarin is pregnant mare urine. It comes from horses who live in stalls all day long. They can't lay down. All they can do is stand in one place. They have urine burns on their legs because they can't lift their tails high enough because their urine is running into a little collection bag. They're catheterized all the time. It's beyond horror. It's awful. And anyone who takes Premarin should very seriously consider where it comes from. The companies that are doing this have pregnant mare urine farms all over the United States and Canada. It's a horrible industry. Just thought I'd add.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Mary. Lisa from Eau Claire. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I would really like to hear a show on the child welfare system in the state of Wisconsin and what laws we have protecting children from abusers, from abuse that they're suffering at the time. I have a friend who's a social worker. She's practiced in Minnesota and Wisconsin, and she is very often discouraged at the laws in Wisconsin protecting the abusers as opposed to the laws in Minnesota protecting the children that are abused. So I'd really like to hear a show on that.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Bye. Michael is next from a cell phone. Hi, Michael.
Hi. I wonder if you've ever had Dan McGuire from Marquette on. He's recently published a book called Whose Church? A Concise Guide to Progressive Catholicism. And I think he said that his publisher, you know, when he spoke at Schwartz last week, was doing a series of books like Whose Torah? And so on, trying to bring up the progressive part of you know, all the world's great religions, including Islam, to counter the stereotype that, you know, religion is all right wing. So, you know, I think he might be interesting to have now.
Oh, he's always an interesting guest.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Matt is next. Hi, Matt.
Hi. I'm calling because I think it'd be really interesting to hear a program on
family-owned businesses. I read that 80% of the businesses in the world are family-owned businesses, and I think there's a lot of interesting dynamics when you're running a business with a family, and I know there's a lot of great family-owned businesses in Wisconsin, and I know that University of Wisconsin in Madison Business School has a family business center that's specifically for family businesses and studies sort of all the intricacies of that, and I think that they might have some really interesting guests to have on.
Are you in one of those?
My wife's family owns a business, and I work for a business that's owned by a family that I'm not a part of, but uh-huh. I'm connected to at least two of them. So
okay.
So, yeah.
All right, Matt. Thanks.
Thank you.
More phone calls in a moment. We're doing an open line for the month of June, and you're giving us program suggestions for the 9 to 11 o'clock hours. Here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Milwaukee area callers, 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Okay. Once a month we do these, and you give us ideas of political subjects, cultural health issues, education issues that you think would be good for discussion, and sometimes you give us the name of a specific person you'd like to hear on the air. So we're welcoming those until 10 o'clock today on the Ideas Network. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mass transit in Wisconsin is our topic for the second hour of our program this Wednesday. Nate is the next caller. Hi, Nate.
Hi, how are you doing, Kathleen?
Fine. How are you?
Great.
Good.
I was wondering if you guys would consider doing a show on just kind of an awareness piece on childhood cancers.
Mm-hmm.
This one is near and dear to my heart. I'm a pediatric cancer survivor. And there are a lot of kids out there with all kinds of different pediatric cancers, and I don't think people always know a whole lot about them, and I think it would be very informational. If you needed to contact my oncologist at UW Hospital in Madison would be a good contact. Her name is Dr. Carol Diamond.
Okay.
And they do a lot of research and a lot of teaching there at UW Hospital, and they did a lot for me. And so I think, who knows, maybe it's just enough information for somebody else out there if they need it.
So. Yeah. So what were you diagnosed with, Nate?
Osteosarcoma. It's a bone cancer.
Oh.
And I'm now just went over the 5-year cancer-free mark recently, and so I'm very, very happy to be here.
Oh, I'm sure you are. Yeah. Okay, that's a good idea. Thanks, Nate. Thanks.
Yep.
Glad you're healthy again.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jane is next from South Milwaukee. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm interested in knowing if it might be possible to get someone on from the State Department of Education and perhaps the State Teachers Union to discuss the responsibility of teachers in the classroom in discussing politics, and this goes directly to something a friend told me the other day of a 12-year-old child whose math teacher was commenting on the presidential candidates and saying things like, well, she was supporting McCain because Obama was not American and he wouldn't pledge to the flag and so forth, and it had nothing to do with math. And the child is afraid to say anything for fear of retaliation from the school and so forth. And I don't know, I think there's a broader issue here of just what teachers' responsibilities are and how they should stick to what they're hired to do and not try to spread their political opinions.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm of two minds on that because, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. It really doesn't belong in a math class. But I can remember some terrific history teachers or social studies teachers who had decided points of view on politics, and I found them really stimulating. But you have to be able to entertain all viewpoints and not hold it against a student who has a different point of view. But if they do have a different point of view, you can get an incredibly stimulating conversation going on in the classroom, don't you think?
Well, I agree with that. What I think bothered me about this is a teacher who stands before the class as an authority figure,
right.
who is stating her opinion about something and not creating a discussion.
Right.
But then almost instilling a sense of, intimidation, I guess, amongst the students that, well, that's her opinion. Well, therefore, it must have some validity. And there was no stimulating discussion. It was just, this man is bad for our country, therefore.
Right, I understand.
But I agree with you about the stimulating discussion in classes, where it's appropriate and where it's an opportunity for fair exchange.
Exactly, yeah. Did you have that when you were growing up? We always used to have elections in schools and have our own primaries, and I thought it was a great deal of fun. I just loved it.
Well, yes, but it was relevant, if you understand.
Yes.
What.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's good, the place of politics in the classroom. I like that. I like that idea. Something different, Jane. Thank you. Let's go to Mary from Kenosha. Hi.
Hi. I've got all kinds of ideas. It bugs me. The election's coming up, and they have these debates on television, and they don't ask real important questions. They ask questions that I think are irrelevant. And so I think we need to get people from departments of universities or something to be on radio, TV, or on the Internet that sort of ask these important questions and get them out so we can start thinking about them and maybe ask them down the road. Know what I mean?
What aren't they talking about that you want them to do to discuss?
Well, we have these flooding in our country, and all that flooding is partly caused from the rain, but partly caused by how our developers develop the places where we live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't make buildings that will absorb the moisture. We put a lot of roads. We put houses far apart, so we have to have more and more and more and more and more roads.
Mm-hmm.
And the roads, you know, we're part of the problem, and I don't think we're owning up to it and realizing that we need to change our ways. Does that make sense to you?
Makes a lot of sense to me.
Oh, and I just think part of it is learning to become greener, but most people don't even understand how greener could help us a lot.
Right.
You know,
I think we need to do a show on cement. I the amount of America that's cemented in, and
that's a good word for it.
Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting? I think about that almost every day. Isn't it interesting how we drive everywhere? We've got all these streets and alleys, and
25, 30, 40, 50 miles away from where they work.
Right, but that's starting, from what we're hearing, starting to change a little bit.
I hope.
Yeah.
And another thing is, we need to develop communities where you don't have to drive to get what you need.
Right.
You know, where you can walk down the street to your market.
Right. I'm with you.
When I was in college, we studied about this, and we learned about this, and by this time, these things were supposed to have happened,
mm-hmm.
according to our professors, but it didn't happen.
No.
And I think, what went wrong?
All right, Mary, you got the makings of a
part of the problem.
You got the makings of a good show.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
What went wrong? Bonnie from Whitefish Bay. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Bonnie.
Back in February, the governor had appointed a special commission on the racial disparity problem in our justice system and prisons. And back in February, that commission came out with a final report with several recommendations. And I'm wondering what's happened to those recommendations. Are they being acted on by anybody? And I'm wondering if maybe somebody from the commission could come on and talk about that, or somebody from the Justice Department or the DOC.
Yes.
Spencer Cox was the co-chair for that commission, and Pam Oliver, who I believe is a sociologist at UW-Madison, was a member who studies the issue, and I think maybe one of those people would be great.
I think so, too.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good to follow through on things. You get these studies, and then they just fly into the air, and you don't hear much more about them. It's a good idea. Our number is 800-486-8655, 227-2050. For those of you who are in Milwaukee, it's your chance to help program this show. It's the open line for the month of June, and we're welcoming your phone calls. Mimi Notstein is answering phone calls. You chat with her for just a minute, and then we'll get you on the air. Mary from Richland Center is next. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Mary.
As usual, your listeners are as interesting as your guests.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes.
We have great listeners.
Yes, I'm telling you, mm-hmm. I would like to second almost every suggestion that was made this morning on your show, and I'll be looking forward to the next hour, too. But my recommendation, I really wish that you would get some representatives of the Baha'i faith on to talk about unity. We hear so much today about diversity and the pulling away from each other and the withdrawal of people from society and everything else. And I think we really need to hear what some people in the world are doing to bring people together. And that is exactly what the Baha'is are doing.
Are you a Baha'i, Mary?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am. And our national headquarters are in Wilmette, Illinois.
Yes, I've seen that building. It's beautiful.
It is. It is. And our international headquarters, the world headquarters, are in Haifa, Israel. But there are there is an assembly in Madison, also in Milwaukee. There is a spiritual assembly there in Madison. And there is a website, Baha'i.org. And I am sure that you could find some representatives to come on and talk about the faith and tell you what we are doing.
All right, Mary.
I think it would be very interesting.
I think so, too.
Thank you so much, Kathleen.
Thank you, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Jean from Ashland. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to suggest a guest. Just let me read off his qualifications, and you can judge him. His name is Stephen T. Sinatra, M.D. is a board-certified cardiologist, a certified bioenergetic psychotherapist, and a certified nutrition and anti-aging specialist. At his practice in Manchester, Connecticut, Douglas Sinatra integrates conventional medicine with complementary nutritional and psychological therapies to help heal the heart. He's an assistant clinical professor at the University of Connecticut School of Medicine and is the author of several books, five that I know of.
Okay.
I'm reading this out of the book that I have, The Sinatra Solution. I heard him interviewed by the Gradens on the People Pharmacy some time ago. He's a very good speaker.
Okay, Jean. Great. Thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
Tim is next from New Berlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Kathleen. I was wondering what, if anything, is being done to prepare for a fair ballot count, an accurate ballot count in November's elections. There is obviously a great deal of debate and discussion on the elections themselves, but that doesn't mean much if people don't have faith in, and if the ballot count is not accurate. Now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wrote an interesting article after the 2004 election alleging that Ohio was stolen. And with the increase in computer balloting, I am not a computer expert, but I know people who are professionals in computer security, and they see with the increase in computer balloting that, yeah, this is a real concern. And I'm wondering, I mean, it's like in 2000, millions of people believe that there were some improper things that occurred during the ballot count. And in 2004, it was the same thing. And it's like we just don't talk about it, and we figure that by itself, 2008 will just automatically be different. And I'm hoping that after the election, we're not discussing again how we think that the election may have been improper. So what I'd like you to do, I hope you'd consider having a show on, is anybody addressing this? Can this be addressed? And is anything being done to prepare for the possibility that this could occur again?
Yeah, and I guess the other question is, have we prepared? We've talked about it.
I mean, uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, good, Tim. Yeah, I think that's a good show.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Let's go next to Jean from Big Bend. Hi, Jean.
Good morning, Kathleen. I'm going to suggest Thomas Oliphant and his recent book, Complete Incompetence. I don't know whether you've had him on since that book has been published.
I have not.
Have you read it?
Not yet. I'll get there. I got a lot of them to read.
It's worth your while.
Okay.
Thank you very much for having this program.
Thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, but goodbye. We always like good suggestions for books. Complete Incompetence. Let me get this one down, and then we'll move on. Great. Okay. Let's go to Jonathan from Madison. Hello.
Hello, yes. I'd like to hear a program on the pros and cons of a home birth or water home birth, maybe a discussion between maybe a midwife and a doctor that have alternate views on it.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm pretty ignorant in it, and I think I'd like to be a little more educated about it.
About to have a baby in your house?
Well, I'm getting ready to be a first-time father.
All right.
So I'd like to have one at home, if possible.
Okay.
All right. Thank
All right,
you.
Jonathan. Thanks for the call. David from Fenimore. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
I'll try one more time, especially since there seems to be quite a bit of interest in this. I think the Supreme Court ruling has had quite a bit to do with people becoming aware of the violation of the Constitution by this administration. So I'll suggest one more time. A law professor, constitutional authority, Bruce Fein, on why these bums need to be impeached for the sake of the country. I think history will prove that they should have been if they're not impeached. He presents a very convincing argument. He's a very interesting guy to have for an interview.
All right, David. Thank you. A lot of suggestions for impeachment guests this hour. And there's obviously some interest in the audience on this, so maybe we'll do a show. Well, that's it. That was fun. And the fun can continue if you want to send us emails. My address is dunk@wpr.org. Rhonda's is fanning@wpr.org. And we always like to hear from you for suggestions for programs. Some of you come up with great, great ideas. Thanks to Mimi Notstein for on-air production. We have news coming up, and we'll return on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.